Wise Studies presents The Essentials of Buddhist Philosophy with Professor B. Scherer. At Wise Studies, we are committed to illuminating the sacred texts and teachings of the world's great contemplative traditions. In this course, Professor Scherer introduces key concepts of Indian Buddhist thought. Over five lectures, B. explains fundamental themes of Buddhist philosophy, from the early Buddhist teachings on suffering, karma, and no self, to the later schools of thought around emptiness and mind only. Each session introduces another layer of Buddhist philosophical development and depth. The course forms a clear and intriguing introduction to the wealth of Buddhist thinking. In this first session, B. looks at Buddhism through a religious, philosophical, and psychological lens, as well as discussing the influence of modernity on Buddhist thought.
In this lesson, I want to ask the question about what Buddhism is. Is it a religion, a philosophy, a psychology? And I want to talk a little bit about what is called Buddhist modernism and how this has influenced the way we think of Buddhism as a philosophy and of Buddhist philosophy. Finally, I want to introduce to you the Buddha, the awakened one. Buddhism. Is it a religion, a philosophy, a psychology? One of the highest Tibetan Buddhist masters, the 17th Karmapa, Taye Dorje, talked in a recent interview about Buddhism and defined it as a way of life. He said it is more like a science, a helpful knowledge. Earlier he has said the Dharma, which is the Buddhist teaching, is simply a method to realize the nature of everything. So Buddhism is not a religion then. Well, if we understand religion as that what links the human sphere to the sphere of a god, then no, Buddhism is not a religion. But there is a problem with the term religion. Since roughly 200 years, people are querying about the question, what is a religion? And in the 19th century, different definitions have been put forward. According to an assumed essence of a religion, such as a god, or a relationship between humans and God, or according to the function that religions might have in a community to offer cohesion and answers in times of pressure. In the 20th century, approaches to religion became more complex, and religion has been seen more as a system of cultural signs, beliefs and practices which engender a deep and lasting sense of meaning and belonging. So in that sense, also Buddhism is a religion. If we think about Buddhism as a philosophy, again we have a problem, since the idea of philosophy comes from our Greek understanding of the love or the pursuit of wisdom. But it becomes easier to understand Buddhism as a philosophy as it exempts us from the need or the firm commitment to do praxis or practice. At the other hand, many Buddhist schools are very practical oriented. So maybe Buddhism is a practical philosophy, or maybe Buddhism is even a psychology, a method, as the 17th Karmapa Taye Dorje said. In academic departments around the world, Buddhism is meaningfully observed and studied as a religion. And in particular, in traditional Asian Buddhist countries, we see Buddhism behaving sociologically exactly as a religion, engendering community cohesion and giving deep and lasting sense of meaning and belonging. So why is it that so many and so many distinguished Buddhists and global Buddhist leaders preach that Buddhism is not a religion? In order to understand that, we need to understand something about the recent development in the history of Buddhism that has to do with globalization and what we call Buddhist modernism. Until the 18th century, Buddhism was mostly disseminated in Asia. Buddhist modernism we see as a response to the arrival of modernity in Asia. Western scholars and the first Western converts read Buddhism then through the lens of their European and Anglo-American backgrounds. And in particular, they try to understand Buddhism through the lens of what we call the foundations of the Western project of modernity. That is, the rejection of ritual and of magic, the embracing of rationality, of individualism, universalism, and of empiricism. As the scholar David McMahon shows, modernism in this context bases itself on Western theism and mainly the Protestant Christian tradition. It also bases itself on scientific rationalism and, as the third pillar, on Romanticism, Transcendentalism, and its philosophical successors. Buddhism becomes, as the American scholar Donald Lopez says, quote, a system of rational and ethical philosophy divorced from the daily practices of the vast majority of Buddhists, end of quote. For intellectuals from the 19th century onwards, Buddhism became the spiritual beacon of rationalism and science in an ocean of emotive religious irrationality, as especially espoused by powerful Christianity, Catholicism, and Protestantism. Consequently, Buddhist teachings were selectively received in the West, ignoring anything mythical and cultural, and focusing only on that which was compatible with the modernity project. An example is Colonel Henry Steele Olcott, the so-called first white Buddhist, in the terms of Stephen Protero. He's a great point in case. Olcott, in the 19th century, creolized his own version of Buddhism, combining, as Protero argues, a Buddhist lexicon with a theosophical accent and with a liberal Protestant grammar. Olcott assimilated Buddhism to largely Protestant categories, assumptions, and logic. Asian Buddhist leaders swiftly appropriated, you could say self-colonized, the Western discourse of modernity aided by colonialism. And a specific form of Buddhism arises, also aided by further cultural flows such as the Asian immigration into North America, where many Chinese came to work in the mines and on the railroads, and also aided by the need of the elite and of the middle class to exoticize and to exert Oriental romanticism and project this onto Buddhist teachings. Edward Said's term Orientalism is particularly important here. What arises is Protestant Buddhism. This is a term that was called by the Sri Lankan scholar Gananad Ubayasekara. And we use this term to describe how the cultural flow of modernism ebbs back and forth between the colonizers and the colonial subjects. The iconoclasm and the back to the origins and to the scripture cries of the Protestant Reformation were indeed emulated in the colonized Buddhist countries. Buddhist praxis, which is thought and practice combined. Buddhist praxis was seen as in need of purging from its impurities. Irrational elements such as myths, hybrid elements such as spirit worship, ancestor worship, and other elements seen at best as folkloristic overgrowth, at worst as perversion of the true Buddhist philosophy, were seen as in need of elimination. David McMahon identifies three key factors of Buddhist modernism: detraditionalization, demythologization, and psychologization. And here we find a stark foundation for the popularity of Buddhism in the West. Namely, the perception that Buddhism, seen as a monolithic tradition, is as in its whole rational and scientific. Buddhism becomes to be perceived as wholly compatible with liberal secularism and with humanistic atheism. Buddhist ethics becomes to be seen as progressive, and Buddhist politics as wholly pacifist.